that Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we're going through every single Disney Channel original movie in chronological order. I'm Rachel.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Oscar.
And wow, what a fun section of the vault we're in. Oh my gosh, look over there. Look, it's part of privacy. Oh my gosh, that's Mark Schroeder. You can see him in Private Streets Twitch show every Thursday at Private Street Comedy. Hello, Mark.
Well, hi there. No. Hi, kids. What are you doing in the vault?
Oh, we're good. Just touring around. Came to this area.
Oh, well, it's
came
it's
down
kind of...
this private street, not to be confused with Private Street.
Well, I did. I labeled all the avenues and roads in the vault because I want people to know where they're going. And if they have to stop and ask for directions, it's easy for them. So this is That's Private weird. Street where I'm. You guys, I'm cooking. I'm grilling some burgers up. If you guys wanna
burgers.
Oh wow! Okay.
No one's ever offered us options.
Yes.
Food or yeah. I don't know if we've gotten.
How long
a meal
have you
before.
Been here?
Well, I like to come here to get away, have a little me time, a little bit while the wife and kids are at home.
That's nice. What do you all see in this area here with the grill and? The
oh yes, look around.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. I see some liquidated liquid cheese. That's being squirted out of some long gun thing.
Oh yeah, I see a bunch of dental floss.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this book. Oh no!
Oh no! More goo.
Don't forget the car wash foam. Watch out! Watch your shoes, kids. Watch your shoes. So it is everywhere. Yeah, there's a lot of slippery, wacky stuff here. But I think we'll be safe. We'll look out. You kids need a sweater? Anybody cold?
How nice.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. Maybe in a bit.
Making sure. Okay, making sure everybody's doing good.
Well, that's so funny, Mark. You're acting like someone's dad right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, I don't know. It's just sort of me, my essence, I guess you could say, is very
childlike. I see.
I mean, how appropriate, because obviously we are talking about
Dadnapped! Oh, you made it to a song, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah, I tried to hit a little vibrato in there. Yeah. Can't harmonize. But.
Have you all seen Dadnapped before?
Uh-huh.
I must ask. Yes.
It's funny because I had been asked so many times to watch, and I just never made the time.
Oh.
And that's my own fault. But now I finally sat down and watched it.
Finally.
Glad we got that bucket list item crossed
off.
Yes,
I crossed it off my bucket list. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oscar, had you seen Dadnapped?
Of course I haven't seen Dadnapped before.
No?
Could you imagine if this was the only
It could be the Cinderella 2 of
DCOM. Ever seen. That's very true. Cinderella 3, A Stitch in Time.
Oh, Cinderella 3. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Oscar had seen Cinderella 3, but not Cinderella. As
or Cinderella 2.
The original. Yeah, or Cinderella 2.
What is 2 about?
Beats me, okay. Mark.
It's also it's called Cinderella 2, The Return of Jafar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a crossover movie.
Early to start a multiverse.
He was in the
Disney tried it first. They tried it first.
And no one saw him in the first Cinderella, but he was there in the background.
He was drawn in, like the dirty stuff drawn in.
Yeah, yeah.
I also had not seen Dadnapped, exciting. I know.
Okay, so
I know.
This is the first time for all of us, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, no. I've
Rachel's
seen it.
Oh, you've seen it?
How many times? Yeah, yeah. How many? What number viewing was this?
This is probably like 3.
Oh, wow.
You've seen it twice before.
Well, I saw it when it first aired, and then when they had all the DCOMs for the 100th DCOM, they did a special thing where all the DCOMs were available and you could watch them all, and so I tried watching them all, and I skipped
How
around.
How far did you get?
Not very. It was like a thing where it's like, oh yeah, that one. Oh yeah, that one. It wasn't in order at all. It's not what we're doing here.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're saying we're doing it better.
You know how Marvel you can watch in how release date order, or you can watch it in chronological order.
That's right.
I did how I felt order, and now we're doing chronological order.
We should make a DCOM order of like a chronological order or something, like the best viewing experience order once we're
doing. Just an emotional journey, a roller coaster journey.
Okay.
Yeah. Start with Cinderella 3, that's what I
said. It's not
gateway into the whole
the original DCOM.
I've never seen a Disney movie. What should I start with?
You gotta go Cinderella 3.
I heard Mulan 2 is really emotional, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Well, okay. we'll have to go back for sure. This sequel section of the vault. So, just real quick, I'm gonna give you some smart housekeeping here, because believe it or not, there's not a ton of info on this movie.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
It's been wiped.
So, it was originally released on February 16th, 2009. Any guesses on the budget?
$2 million.
Yeah,
$2.
I'm gonna say
$2.
I'm gonna say two to five. Four million. I'll say.
$4.5 million.
Mark!
Wow!
I was the unit production manager on this. Yeah.
I knew you worked on this movie, Mark.
Okay.
It was a big cast of Disney Channel stars.
That was their biggest selling point, right?
Yeah.
This is a farm team kind of. Let's use our talent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. They've got Emily Osment from Hannah Montana. Mm-hmm. Moises from Hannah Montana
Andre.
Yeah, and the brother from Hannah Montana,
Jason Earls as Merv.
That's it. And then David Henry from Wizards of Waverly Place
as Wheeze.
And then Phil from Phil Lewis. Sweet Life
as
Zack and Cody Sweet Life on Deck.
Oh, I see.
So for kids in 2009, this movie was like Knives Out. This was hot star coming in, because you know how excited we all are about Knives Out.
Absolutely. And then, of course, for the Father of the Bride fans, we got George Newbern as Neil Morris, the dad.
He was also in Buffalo Dreams. You guys remember that?
Was he the dad in that? I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Wait, he's the fiance and Father of the Bride, or is he?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So her,
and the husband and Father of the Bride Part Two. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he stayed around. He could put up with Steve Martin.
And Father of the Bride Part Three. Y'all seen that one?
The Return of Jafar.
Jafar's in a lot more movies.
He's in a lot of books.
Truly booked and blessed.
Wow. So, it's all those puns he delivers at the end of Aladdin.
Oh my gosh. Oh. That scene.
It's easy. He punishes him.
So there's not, like I said, there's not a ton of background. However, Paul Hoen is the director, and he directed Cheetah Girls One World, Camp Rock 2, Zombies,
Final
and Zombies
Jam?
2. So we've seen we've seen Cheetah Girls One World out of those, but some other DCOMs. So
I've seen the other
another DCOM, sweetheart.
So I don't exactly know. So I'm assuming that DCOM means decommissioned, where after we make this movie, we're going to burn the film so that nobody ever sees it again.
For the sake of Dadnapped, I think that's what that is. Yeah.
So it's the Disney Channel original movie. Those are the ones made for TV.
They
started in 1999. Mm-hmm. I think with Under Wraps,
It's coming out next month.
Oh, yeah, they're doing a new one, right?
Is that a mummy movie?
Yeah.
Is a mummy. It's very good. It's a very good Halloween movie.
Patrick Starr from SpongeBob, right?
The cartoon is a mummy. The guy who plays
actor?
Him. What's his name?
I don't remember.
I can't remember his name. That was the first one in 1999. And then for a while, they were making them monthly, and then they chilled out a bit. And so at this point, they were making like 4 or 5 a year.
Somebody looked at the numbers. It was like, we gotta slow down. This is not out of control.
We're hemorrhaging money now. One a month.
Like quality over quantity, right?
And we have seen them all thus far. So
amazing.
There were some months that I was like, wow, this was made very quickly.
This was made in a month.
So that's kind of it. Mark, do you have any kind of like connection to Disney? Are you a Disney fan?
I'm a mainstream. I wish I was a deep cut Disney person, but I'm okay. I'm like the.
You will be after this episode.
You know, this is my deepest cut Disney for sure.
Whip this out at parties.
Be like, hey, you know what? People. I've seen some dad napped. Yeah, you can have your Mighty Ducks. Call me when you're napping dads. Mm-hmm. I do remember, speaking of Aladdin 2, The Return of Jafar.
Oh, my God.
One of my strongest Disney-related memories of the time where I was very young, I was 8 or 9, I guess, when it came out, and I went to a birthday party that was at the theater to see Aladdin 2, Return of Jafar. Mm-hmm. And it was okay, but it was made worse by the fact that there was a poster outside for the Batman Mask of the Phantasm animated movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's what I would rather be seeing than Aladdin 2, The Return of Jafar. So it was just sort of me in the theater being like, it's not Robin Williams. I could tell it's not Robin Williams. Aside from that, I'm more of a mainstream. I wish I could say I was a deep cut person, but
what would you say is your favorite Disney film? And yes, I called them films.
They are. So is there somebody next to you, Oscar?
Yeah.
Justifying yourself.
There's someone just out of frame.
You just turned off to the side.
Yes, Roger, I called them films.
To be perfectly honest, I love Beauty and the Beast. I think Beauty and the Beast.
Great
movie. Tale as old as time.
Yeah,
I think we all gave that one 5 stars or roses or whatever.
5 candles.
I gave it 2.
And I mean the live action one, of course, obviously.
Oh, the Stanley Tucci one.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Tucci.
That was funny.
We had some great ones, mm-hmm. as you know, people.
Yeah, we had the
them.
Renaissance.
Yes, yeah, we
Disney animation
fell right in that nice little pocket of like,
that's true.
Maybe
we were lucky.
Yeah.
We were very lucky.
We got the DCOMs, so we got to go back, dip back into that luck.
So lucky. I was so lucky to watch this.
Listen, there's some gems, and I stand by it today. If it wasn't for this season of Inside the Disney Vault, I would have never discovered the magic of the Cheetah Girls.
Yes.
So, for that and that alone, I'm
it's
grateful.
Worth it.
Wow. Yeah. I can't wait to find it. This order, that or recommended order of viewing.
Cinderella 3.
Sorry, we should do from trash to great.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's
treasure. We guarantee each one will get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's like a book. You have to kind of get through it to get to the good part, you know.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I would start at Alley Cat Strike. Actually, it's not. I don't know why I shit on that.
That
was not the worst one.
And it wasn't Horse Sense.
Jenny Project.
No, not Horse Sense.
I love Horse Sense.
Sorry. No, the one that should have been called Horse Sense, but it wasn't.
Oh.
Ready to Run.
Oh, Ready to Run. Oh, right. Okay.
I was going to say Racetrack, but that's not
Well,
a movie.
There yeah, are well. Many. So, Mark, if Dad Napped piqued your interest, you can go back and watch all these great films we're talking about.
But Disney Plus is there, baby. I'm gonna excavate.
Starting
that.
With Ready to Run, maybe. We'll see. We'll figure out an order.
Sinbad.
What was that?
Sinbad.
Oh, Sinbad is in that one as the voice of a horse.
As a horse.
Oh, great.
Take that as you will, Mark. I think Mark might actually like it.
Anything with Sinbad, I love. I unironically love Sinbad.
I thought I did too, and then I saw this movie.
Oh no! Okay, this is gonna turn me. This is gonna be Sin.
But nevertheless,
good?
We ain't talking about Ready to Run. We're ready to talk about
Dad Napped. Mm-hmm. Which right. We start with a song from Emily Osment, right?
Yes, it must. That's what I wrote down. It has to be Emily Osment singing. We got dad photos and memorabilia.
Well, right before I had never heard of this movie, and I made a guess. My mind just immediately made a guess of like, what could this movie possibly be about? So what I guessed that it was a group of kids who all have lackluster relationships with their dads, concoct a scheme to kidnap their dabs for a weekend in order to spend more time with them.
Oh my god, that is a great plot.
So I was like, oh, I wonder if that, if it's like, cow. Yeah.
Write it.
That reminds me of, have you seen House Arrest?
Yeah, and then it gave me a House Arrest vibe. So they keep their parents in the basement.
Oh, I would. That would be a great movie.
And I was like, well, let's see how close I am. And I was happy to report I was way off.
You kind of got it though.
Cool. There were thematic elements. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So we go to school. There's a dude who's got a special advanced copy of a book, and we learn about this character named Trip Zoom. And then the way this was set up was so confusing because I didn't realize. So essentially, Emily Osment, whose name is Melissa, is the daughter of a writer of this famous book series. And for some reason, this kid at her school has the book. I don't know why this was.
Well, he explained it in a roundabout way. Yeah, Rachel, go ahead.
Oh, his dad got a special copy of it because he works at the printing whatever.
Oh, his dad works at the paper factory.
Right.
Yeah.
And the way he described paper was so weird to me. It's like, yes, my dad works at a paper factory where the pages are used for this book here. And it's like, are you mansplaining what paper is?
But also,
you see, they take trees.
Also, I don't think that they print the book and then it goes back to the paper factory.
I don't know.
Wait, the paper factory doesn't print up the copies of Harry Potter and the.
It could be a factory, a paper factory, and a printing factory that are in the same building.
This is true.
But maybe his dad works on the paper factory side of the dual factory.
It's split down the center. And then
he works close to the line. There's a line, and he works close to the line that's on the printing side, so he was able to reach across.
Love it.
Everybody on the paper making side is clean and neat, and everybody on the printing side is inky and dirty.
Yeah.
And
yes.
You know, you hope they shift every month so that you get a clean month and a dirty month.
Couldn't have just been a book that existed already. It had to be a book that was not released yet.
I know. Well, then, because you gotta have all the kids excited about this book. And except Melissa was not very excited. She was a little over it, you know?
Yeah. She's annoyed. She's annoyed by
Trip. Well, I think that kid was doing, it was a book report. And my girlfriend pointed this out. I was like, wait, is his book report just to read the book?
Wait a second. That's a good point.
It's like, yeah, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to just read for my book report.
Right. Because his book report is, because we then see like a sort of like a dramatization of the chapter that he's reading.
He's just reading the straight up book.
Which I was like, oh, are we going to get this? Is this what's going to happen in the movie? And does it happen again?
Never again.
No.
That shake in my damn head. What?
I will say it was very hard to take notes for this movie because I couldn't tell which were parts of the plot or which were just things we were seeing.
Oh, this had a plot? That's interesting to me.
It was a dad nap.
Dad just takes a nap.
Classic dad nap.
So we go home, and Melissa tells her mom that she's excited because she's going on a camping trip with her dad. But we get the impression that this has happened before. Dad's maybe unreliable. Mom and dad are no longer married.
Melissa has an inflatable Edvard Munch's The Scream in her room, which is really cool. That's a pretty good Halloween decoration if you just get for the guy's scream. Yeah. But an inflatable one?
It felt like one of those like punching bag, inflatable clown punching bags that
punch the screaming guy down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fun. That's very fun.
That's good set dresser.
Dad shows up at the house, and he has a Trip Zoom cardboard cutout, which is the first clue. Oh, boy. Oh, what is this dude doing?
But then Melissa starts talking to it. She's got problems.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a lot. I'm worried about Melissa.
Is she okay? The underlying theme of this movie.
Melissa, okay.
No.
Right. This is like, it's like her drop dead Fred. This is her her thing.
But she doesn't like him. Like, it's an antagonistic relationship.
Right.
It's a sibling rivalry with a fictional character.
Exactly. It's within her head.
Exactly.
Within her head, yeah.
It's very odd. It's very, very odd.
Yeah, so mom tells dad he's got to make this trip great and not to mess it up. And again, Trip comes to life and he's commenting on the situation, but, you know, Melissa, I don't even remember what they're talking about, but this happens a lot, basically. It's her inner monologue slash dialogue with him.
We've seen this device in Read It and Weep.
Right, except that it was
a Disney trope here.
It's a Disney trope. But instead, like, the alter ego already... what was the name of the movie I just said? Oh, my God.
Read It and Weep.
It was, like, friendly, and then it became antagonistic. This is antagonistic from jump, so...
There's history here. Right.
There's history. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dad Napped Before, a prequel.
Yes. Oh, we do need a Dad Napped prequel. Yes.
Where things were optimistic, and Dad first gets the book deal, and the family thinks it's all going to be great.
Mark, you should be writing these.
Oh, don't think I don't already have an 80-page script for these 80-minute movies.
Wow.
So we cut to the car. They're in a convertible. Trip, the cardboard cutout, is with them in the back seat. I don't know why. Melissa says that she's surprised that Dad came through. However, Dad says they have to stop at a convention first. Mm-hmm. Oh, brother. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what city they go to.
Mercury.
That's
why it's called the Merc Hotel.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if it's a real or it's just generic Utah town. Mercury.
Yeah, I don't know, but the downtown area looks kind of cool. There's a lot of like neon signage. A
lot
and
of neon.
And it's some kind of like Comic-Con kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so Dad's very into being at this convention because he loves the attention that he gets from his fans, and he calls it Triptastic. and then we meet the hotel concierge, whose name is, what's his name, Merv? And it's played, that's Jason Earls, the Hannah Montana brother.
Oh, that wasn't Rob Schneider from 1992?
Also, I was like, is this a... I was very confused about how old this character was.
Yeah, well, he was old, but he played like a teenager on Hannah Montana.
Yeah, I think he's like in a Ben Platt. When he played a 16-year-old.
Out of here, are you serious?
He was Ben Platt before Ben Platt was Ben Platt.
Oh my God.
So he's a teeny little guy.
Yeah.
He was Ben Platt before Ben Platt. Jason Earls did it first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Merv. And then, okay, we go to the hotel room. It's a very funny, weird, quirky hotel. But Dad's loving it. Melissa's not happy to be there.
The room is like the quarters on like the Titanic, like E deck. It's like
the beds are stuffed in there.
Yeah, their dad and daughter sleeping 7 inches apart.
I know, it's so weird.
Like a lava lamp in there and like some weird accessories and things. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. So Dad chats with the fans, and this dude rappels from the ceiling, acting out the Trip Zoom, or one of the things that happens in a book. How many books do you think there are?
That's a great question. This is, everybody loves it, and they mention
it's the equivalent
at least
of like Harry Potter.
What I was thinking.
So many, because there's so many references and devices, and one of the things that happens at this convention is the fans have built the contraptions that Trip Zoom uses, because Trip Zoom is like a spy, I think. And so Dad says he'll pick a contest winner and then they'll be on the road.
There's a contest that like the fan who knows the most will get to appear in the next book, and so everyone's trying to impress him with their knowledge, and like
I believe the contest is called Are You Zoom Enough?
That's right.
Are You Zoom Enough? Which we're on a Trip Zoom call right now.
We're on it.
Oh my God.
And
I'm judging
Zoomers.
Who is Zoom Enough right now? I'll let you know. I think she mentioned something about like her dad used to be a dentist, which is why
floss in the
I you know what
that makes so much sense.
I watched this before, but this is the first time I caught it, where she was like, why can't you just be a dentist again? And I was like, okay.
That makes right. so much sense.
Okay. The prequel. Oh,
no. So is all the movie. Is all the stuff that's getting squirted at people, is that like toothpaste?
Yeah, I think so.
Look weird. Okay.
Yeah. And then also, that kind of makes sense too, because like, aren't, have we talked about this before? Dentists, aren't they like depressed? And like, maybe he was like really depressed in his Jesus. Marriage. And this is for like the prequel.
Yeah.
And so like,
I'm taking notes on this. Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
found joy in writing this book, but his yeah. wife is like, no, but you need to be a dentist and provide for a family. He's like, you don't understand. These books make me happy. I'm happy for the first time ever. And
that's what led to the divorce.
Mom
Morris.
Is the bad guy?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The mom is the Merv? The mom yeah. is the Merv.
Yeah, it was, what's that one, Marriage Story? That's what it is.
Oh, but it's Marriage Story. Okay. It's Marriage Story. Yeah, the Dadnapped prequel is just Marriage Story.
So, Melissa runs into David Henry, whose name is Wheeze, and they're both word whammers, which I guess yeah. is like Words with Friends.
Well, I think, wasn't this, something? Like, also, yeah, Words with Friends was, like, really big. And
oh, I think this like is Upwords, because wasn't Upwords Scrabble
oh,
that
Scramble.
You could build on top yeah. of the words? So you could build, like, vertically off of that. Oh, but I think right. they needed to avoid it yeah. for licensing reasons. It wasn't Upwords. It was mm-hmm. Word Wham.
They have to have the dad-napped branded Whammers.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were expecting it to blow up. It was official merch.
Yeah.
Dad-napped merch.
I mean, mm-hmm. they could have had a book series. They could have had the Gabes. They could have had Floss.
All that merch is in the ocean now.
They Lanford. Made all the all merch.
That, all that Floss is floating in the Pacific.
And then, okay, then Rico from Hannah Montana shows up. His name is Andre, I think.
Oh,
and
my goodness. Does this kid have his own series, his own movie
he's
franchise?
He's on Hannah Montana.
He's on Hannah Montana.
This
Hannah
kid Montana. Loved this kid.
I think on Hannah Montana, he runs like a drink stand or something, like
yeah,
a snack
yeah.
stand.
A beach, yeah.
And a he's a child, though, right?
Yeah.
He's like a 12-year-old who
very,
runs.
Very, young.
There's like. That there's always that like little annoying kid who like tags along kind of thing, and mm-hmm. that's what his character was. He was like the what's that Beans from Even
yeah.
Stevens type.
So he wasn't a tough guy. He was like a meek little brother kind of type in that.
No, he was tough too.
Always okay. I just wanted to yeah. see what range he had. I was considering him for a project, but I guess.
No.
I feel like he was trying to impress.
Yeah.
Press yeah. the gals.
Well, I might have a role for that, but we'll see.
So,
I'll yeah. probably just have to use Oscar.
He's also much older now. So.
He is older now.
Yeah.
But he could play younger, just like Jason Earls.
He could,
probably,
yeah.
If he wanted to. I don't know. So, okay, they're up to something, clearly, these two. Oh, and these yeah. two are brothers. And Melissa calls her mom and reveals that dad did it again because they're not camping yet. They're at a convention.
Yeah.
And I even was getting frustrated. Like, what? We got to get on the road. I don't know where the camping place is, but they look like they didn't have any kind of gear, any kind mm-hmm. of food.
Not at all.
I know. I don't even
first,
know if they had a plan.
First tipping thing that like we're not going camping is the fact that you showed up with nothing but a cardboard cut out of your fictional
right.
character. I don't think we're going camping.
Right. Like we'll use this for shelter.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll burn this.
It could be glamping though, where you show up and everything's
oh,
already
yeah.
there.
Everything's in the
but
yurt.
You
I had everything.
A little, yeah, you wouldn't be even a little bit suspicious. Like, what's this doing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? In case we need Dad. To get into the carpool lane and they need
yeah.
three people.
Yeah, yeah. It's Utah. I don't know what the carpool is.
So the convention gets evacuated because some kind of like onion gas goes off. There's like something called the tearjerker contraption.
Right, which is a reference to an invention in the book.
Yes.
That they used.
Yeah.
And
which
Dad
I liked.
Gets...
I did like that fact that like the books have this sort of like prank and booby trap quality to them that
yeah.
the kids can kind of
yeah like he feels very MacGyver-y
stuff.
You know it's
yeah.
like Harry Potter meets 007 meets MacGyver.
Yes.
Well, wasn't 2009 was like big MacGruber time, right?
Oh, you think this movie is a response to the MacGruber craze?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
yeah, yeah.
so.
That makes yeah, I absolutely.
Yeah, it was fun that there seemed to be a bunch of references and lore that all the kids know about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, Dad gets dadnapped.
For the first time.
For the first time.
Yes. Ooh, yes. So, okay, so Mr. Mosby, whose name is, oh, shoot, now I forget it. I wrote it a million
Mr.
times.
Mr. Mosby.
Yeah,
Mr. Mosby from Hannah Montana, no, whose name Sweet is Maurice. Life. Maurice. And the his friend, or his brother, I think, whose name is Skunk. Yeah.
Right. He's like Kronk.
That's exactly like Kronk. Yeah, from Emperor's New Groove, yes.
Yeah. I did like
a dim-witted sidekick.
Yeah. Yes. They defined him in the movie. They were like, but I'm the lovable sidekick or whatever, bad guy, right? And that's what he was. Yes.
That's what he was, exactly.
So funny.
So this is where it gets very confusing. So Dad gets dadnapped in a van, but I think it's this van belongs to these guys. And it says right. Trip Zoom on the van.
Well, they're big fans, you know what I mean? Because they did the big onion machine, and the dad was so impressed, like, oh, this could win. This might be the zoomiest invention of all. Yeah. And so they drag him, they put him in dental floss, at which the dad is like, this is also an invention from Trip Zoom. And they're like, we know. That's why we kidnapped you.
There's a little bit of misery going on in here, where, like, you know, the Stephen King book where the writer gets in the car accident and his biggest fan knows all his stuff but is kind of obsessed.
That's very true.
There's a little misery going on here. Interesting. Mm. What if that's inspired? I'll take notes for the prequel.
Yes. Yeah. So Melissa calls the police to report that her dad was taken, and it's the coach from Double Teamed, right?
And it's also the principal from High School Musical.
Oh, you're right. Yes, I remember. A lot of DCOM stars already
making the rounds, booking that work.
And $4 million to stop bothering him. He's busy.
Yeah, and he's making like a miniature or something. Or he's working on.
I don't know what he was doing,
but a magnifying glass was involved. Yeah,
some fun craft stuff going on. So he's like, "Stop bothering me." And then Trip and Emily have to work together because he knows all the details about the novels, and so that's going to come into play here because we're dealing with fans here who have taken Dad. And so we find out that Skunk is an aspiring writer, and Maurice, they get a uniform van and go after the smaller van. So the big van going after the small van.
All the kidnappers in this movie have the most conspicuous vehicles. The one kidnapper's driving the Zoom thing with the police siren on the top, which is a crime, which is you can't do that.
Yeah, that's illegal. Yeah.
But they're kids.
No one seems to have thought this out.
And then the other kidnappers have a big yellow. When have you ever seen a giant yellow van? We need to revise our kidnapping plans here.
It's like the clown dog van from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Exactly right. That's exactly
the delivery truck. So in the van, the three super fans who dadnapped Dad have him tied up with floss because I think it's a method from the Trip Zoom books.
Yeah.
And Dad kind of likes it.
Oh my goodness, Claire.
He does. He's like sort of delighted by the fact that these fans have gone to these lengths, and he's sort of quizzing them and giving them info.
He's a narcissist. Right. Dad is a raging narcissist, and that's his fatal flaw that gets him into this whole.
He's happy for the first time, for storytelling purposes. That's in the third one.
Yeah, when we write the third one after the prequel.
Yeah.
So Melissa calls her dad, who takes the phone call and recognizes the voice of her word whim boy that she ran into.
Yes. Nimrod.
Because of their word play.
Nimrod.
I mean, the mystery is very easily uncovered.
These two are also very flirty. Already.
Very flirty.
I mean. And there was all that mention of the lip gloss, and there was no. I'm jumping ahead. Yeah. There's no kiss.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't. They don't kiss in DCOMs.
Got me thinking. Yeah, I bet there's none of that stuff. Yeah.
You have to wait till a sequel. So you have to earn yourself
a sequel. To the sequel.
Yeah, to get a kiss.
So you're saying does the prequel count? Can I have? Well, she's gonna be younger. Right, we'll do it in the third one. We'll save it for the third one.
Well, the mom and dad kiss.
Wait,
in
the prequel counts, then we would have to go back and. I'll edit this one. So
we have the footage. We could. It's right here in the vault. Look, they have all these real Bill's a film.
It's true. So we find out that they're going to the car wash, and Melissa goes to the car wash with Jason Earls slash Merv in a convertible.
What?
And he's helping her now. But what happens? Uh-oh, they got to drive the convertible through the car wash.
Well, first, and it was revealed in the wacky outtakes, but Merv suddenly has a giant splotch of bird poop on his jacket shoulder that just appears mid-scene out of nowhere on his white jacket. We're watching, and we're like, I think that's bird poop. And they just had to keep going because they had one jacket. They just had to keep filming.
Yeah. They were like, whoops, we don't have a shot without the bird poop, so we're going to use this one.
We're just blasting through.
This movie really does love goopy things.
Oh, it's the goopiest movie of all time.
It's a goop fest for sure.
Goopy things, poopy things, toothpaste things.
Did that test well? Do I have to have a lot of goopy things in the prequel? What is the studio? What is the
you
big
know,
mouse
you're
saying?
You're leading up to the goop, you know? This is when the dad discovers goop.
Slime might work. Great.
Yeah.
I need to, how he gets the idea for everything floss related for all the goo. That's my job is to put those in his dentist job.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, you got all kinds of goopy stuff.
This is a great creative meeting. Thank you so much.
Mouthwash, toothpaste, fluoride. My notes just say, what on earth is this movie? Because I was very
confused.
What was happening? So because the kids in the van pull out books that were from the library, and Dad says, hey, that book is due today. And they go, what? Books have due dates and there are fines?
See, no one's teaching these kids things because they don't know about the sirens. They don't know that you have to return books. I'm just worried about these kids. Also, none of the kids in the hotel have parents with them. They're just all running around. Where are the parents in this town?
Where are the parents? They're trusting their parents to trip Zoom and Neil, the writer.
Maybe there's a parent hotel, and all the kids are in the hotel.
Oh, it's like Downtown Disney. It's where the it's where the parents go to, like, get loose.
And that could
you have the Merck Hotel. Exactly. Yeah. You have the Merck Hotel for the adult, for the kids, and then Uri Hotel for the adults. In Mercury.
I like Uri.
Yes.
The Uri. The Uri Hotel.
And then the hotel
for
dogs.
And just the hotel for dogs.
And it's called Pluto.
Wow. I have to go.
We solved it.
So all the books are overdue. What are we going to do? We got to go to the library. They say, the kids in the van say, if he shows them some trip traps, they'll let him go. Or a trip trap.
Yes, those are traps set by Trip.
Yeah.
AKA trip traps.
Yeah, trip traps.
Sorry, you cannot use the word in the definition, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I agree, Mark, but here we are.
So they go to the library, and Melissa also goes to the library. And Dad sets a trap in a book, and this whole thing is bonkers. And then he puts it in the shelf, and Melissa
clearly
comes
in the
along.
Middle of a shelf. And then for production purposes, Melissa has to get it from the end of a row for a camera angle or some reason, but very explicitly puts it in the middle of a bookshelf. And then Melissa, it's like the second book in. I was like, come on, let's just.
So, of course.
We just block the scene once before we shoot.
No.
Nope. So she opens the book and it explodes in her face. More goo, of course.
Gross.
Blue goo. And Dad is just tickled by this and then introduces them all. And he's like, these are the people who dadnapped me, but we're friends. It's fine.
But this is when the boy's like, you smell great.
Gets really into that watermelon lip gloss.
Right.
And this like, moment. He's like, cherry or raspberry? And she's like, no, I'm allergic to that. It's watermelon. It's like, interesting detail.
Romantic banter. I was thrown off guard by this moment. Because, like, okay, well, they've all met each other now. Like, she's caught. The dadnappers. Right. Now what could possibly happen?
Yeah.
So it shifted into another gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, we're all friends. It's fine. So Dad and Melissa leave, and she tells Dad that he just doesn't get it, that she's upset by the fact that he has not taken her camping and has only done these things for himself. And then Maurice and Skunk in disguise show up, and Dad as police, and Dad immediately knows that they're not police.
Wow, A cab.
This is another one of those little bits that I don't know why was in there, because immediately Dad knows their trick.
Yeah, well, they had a stapler gun. They were trying to.
Right.
Trying to use a stapler as a gun.
I don't even think it was a gun. I think it was just a stapler, you know, when you.
Oh, just
a, just a stapler. Yeah.
Just a stapler. I'll staple you.
So it'll then hurt. They dadnap Dad and Melissa.
Two.
Yeah, because she handcuffs herself to her dad because she's like, you're not getting away from me this time. And then, yeah, so they're together. Right.
So then the original three dadnappers chase after them. And again, they call the police, and he's not having it. He thinks it's a prank because he's gotten many phone calls like this. And my question is, if you've gotten many phone calls like this, why aren't you taking it seriously?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do your, I mean, ACAP.
But he just there, wants to craft.
In that second scene, there was like a deputy there in that second scene who never spoke, but she looked exactly like Robin Wright. And I couldn't turn my brain off. I was like, I'm just going to assume that Robin Wright just did a day on this for no reason. I was like, I can't speak. I'll just nod.
She's uncredited, too. She's uncredited. Like, I want no credit in this movie.
I can't just want to be a part of
it. I just want to be a part of it.
She just wanted to do some crafts in the police station set.
Yeah. This is so much easier than House of Cards. It's so much easier.
That's that. And then Dad and Melissa get taken to the place where Maurice and Skunk live, which I guess is some kind of hall or something. They made a point of saying, yeah, the city keeps the electricity on, but I couldn't tell what kind of building
it was. An outdoor movie drive-in movie theater.
Oh, okay. That's
right. I think
so
they
this is the...
live in the concession stand or the...
Yummy. Think,
it was what are cool. I thought it was a cool place.
I mean, yeah, this is pretty cool.
It felt very like cool 90s, like sick, like TV show. Like, we live at a movie, of a drive-in theater.
With the open pizza box with like three slices in it.
It really reminded me a lot of Ernest. Like, Ernest Saves Christmas, kind of like decorated the way he has his place decorated. Mm-hmm. I think, again, it's like a lot of lights and just like outdoor things indoors.
Like, oh, if a kid just became an adult, this is how they would decorate their home.
Right. So
this is when they reveal that Skunk has a book that he's working on and it's bad and they need the dad to rewrite it. And so they give it to the dad to rewrite, but they're like, we won't let you go until you finish it. And he's like, well, this would take weeks to do.
Right.
Which they so in that room they have a because they've been working on the book so far, Skunk and Maurice. So they had this thing in the background, all their notes and post-its all around the room, which I thought was very funny. Much like the writer of this movie probably had many notes and post-its to track the storylines. But they also have a book outline written on a big board, and I paused it to read the four steps. The four steps,
Mark,
of their book outline.
What are they?
Step one, start out with a tension grabber.
Okay.
Step two, write a bunch of stuff in the middle. Step three, end with a bang. And step four, write the end. Those are the four steps.
End with a bang and then write the end.
And then write the end, yeah.
And then we also get another fun, helpful thing when you're describing a place. Describe two things of the place, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was some good writerly advice to not just what it looks like, but, you know, how it smells, how it makes you feel. Yeah.
This was very educational. I think I learned a lot about writing.
They show this in schools, actually. They show this in creative writing schools.
Yeah. Actually, this was one of my classes in film school, was watching Dadnap.
That's why you've seen it before, right?
Yeah.
Once for the midterm.
So we find out that Melissa has read the books. She's read Trip Zoom. She knows about it. She says she's
not like a super fan.
Yeah, Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because she says dad cares more about Trip Zoom than he does about his own daughter. And she wants to be a character in one of his books. And dad responds to this by saying that characters are larger than life and dynamic, which I feel like is not the most comforting thing to say to your child who's feeling neglected.
Yeah.
I thought that was the meanest thing in the movie, straight up. She yeah. goes, why am I never a character in your book? And he goes, characters are dynamic.
I know. He's so disrespectful to his daughter.
God. I know.
He really is.
Oh, I was like, God. Oh, okay. So you made your character a man, dad. Right? And you think women aren't dynamic enough.
Yeah, he's rude as hell.
This will all be explored and roasted in the prequel. Trust me.
Oh. Thank you. That's also a reason why the mom wants a divorce. You wanted a son, and we got a daughter.
That's good. Are you available to play?
This was, I was like, ouch, oof. Because he really had a chance there to say something nice and constructive, but no, didn't take it.
Could have been like, you are Trip. But I just made him a man because...
Yeah, would that have been better or worse that characters are dynamic?
Yeah. So Melissa talks about the dance recitals and creative writing awards that he's missed and this and that. And he's surprised by this.
Oh, yeah. He's like, you won a creative writing? She's like, two in a row.
He's like, I know how to write an ending with a boom and then write the ending as well.
I know the four steps to book writing.
So Maurice and Skunk watch a drive-in movie, and they're in this convertible.
Royalty-free, of course.
Royalty-free films.
Right. No sound, black and white movie.
Yep.
And there's like a lamp and an umbrella in the car. I don't know. I thought this looked like a cool little place to hang out. And then...
I was like, that looks... I would hang it up. That's pretty chill. Little old car convertible,
Yeah. And so then we see cop lights and sirens, and they rush to evacuate. But we find out it's something that the other three kids are calling stakeout fake out, because it's just lights and sirens, and they're just, you know, well, stakeout fake
out. On a sound effects mixtape, I guess.
Right.
That has different tracks of
stock farm sound. Animals. Yeah. Melissa gives critique on Skunk's book. And there's a van/truck chase.
Yeah, because they have to, now they're in the car and he has to ride in the car. Melissa's like giving advice. But then they stop at like a bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The bathroom moment.
Right. So Melissa chats with Trip about ruining her life, and he says that he's in her head because she keeps him there. And basically she's starting to realize, oh, like, I'm creating you because you're...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like, living in your head rent-free. You right. could start charging me, but you don't.
And then somebody gave the note of, nobody's ever going to say that. That doesn't... People don't talk like that. Little did they know.
So she realizes, though, if he's in her head, she is thinking like him. And so the dadnappers give him a Slim Jim, and they tell him to shut up and write, which is this part. Also, it's so violent. They've duct taped him to a seat, I guess, and have him... typing or
just
writing.
Just his forearms of
right.
free to just peck away.
Doesn't, not very good creatively, I would say.
No.
I can't write when I'm not, when I have all the dexterity in the world.
Right.
<can't write>.
So the other
But now
kids
you
go
can.
To, oh, yeah, they go to
the
gas station.
You have the notes.
Oh, right, because she says she has to go to the bathroom and they're running out of gas. And so they let her go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And she leaves a little clue in the bathroom.
For her crush.
She rips out one of the pages of the book and circles a word. And the other kids go to the gas station and they find the clue she left. And Weez says, watermelon flavored lip gloss.
Yeah. Mm.
He's on the scent.
Yeah.
And then he follows just the trail like Pepe Le Pew.
Yes. I mean, she put a lot of trust that he would do so. And he really delivered.
Also, I've never applied lip gloss or used it, but if you can circle a word on a piece of paper, can't you write like a message with the lip gloss? have a little bit more detail.
Maybe. Yeah.
But I mean, it's more fun to circle a word and have them figure it out, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, she also probably could have found a pen and done that. Because
no.
Although she was on a time crunch and her resources were limited, I feel maybe she could have found a pen. But, yeah, I don't know. It is.
It might be that it's just you can't write too much because the app
dry out.
Yeah, and the applicator is like too big.
Maybe it's kind of sheer. So.
It's like a chunky marker type, and you're like, well, I can't write with this.
Yeah, this will all be explored in the prequel.
On the mirror.
Yeah.
Okay, we find out that Merv is working with Maurice and Skunk for some reason. I don't know.
He hates his job, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, he wants the hotel to become his own hotel because he has the plan to call it the Merv instead of the Merc.
I mean, it makes sense.
That makes sense.
Just has to change one letter. So they then tape Dad to a chair in the hotel because they're back at the hotel, but they're in a sort of a suite kind of place.
That yeah.
The sweet life.
Spend 90% of this movie duct taped. It's just like, oh, no, let me see the call sheet for tomorrow. Duct taped again all day. All
right. Hey, you know, but he's sitting down, and that's the job I like.
It's pretty comfortable. Amen. Yeah.
Other than that is like the morgue body and like the procedurals that's just there with the sheet up to your chin. You're just asleep. That's a good job. That's
you just fall asleep? Is that?
Yeah, that's why they hire the pros. You can go home now. And it's five more minutes.
Five more minutes.
What if everybody left them there and then they woke up after on the set in a morgue?
Oh my God, how scary.
Scary.
Yep, slept at work again.
Fell asleep on the job again, selfie with a gurney and a corpse.
So the other kids get a ride from a pizza delivery dude. Another van.
Another a weird vehicle.
Van-heavy movie. Van.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed that in the hotel room there was a bowl of pomegranates.
Yeah.
What, really?
This was when pomegranates were really big. I don't know if you remember in 2009 when pomegranates were everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They came back in a big way.
Yeah.
So Dad and Melissa give Skunk writing lessons. This is, I think, the thing where they say, imagine two things.
Yes.
Yeah. You all were talking
and
about
he starts
earlier.
To get it. He's like, oh, I get it now.
Yay. Oh, I can write my own book now.
I'm learning.
And so Melissa chats with Trip about whether or not her plan is good or not. Mm-hmm. And I guess he gives her sort of a pep talk, which she's sort of giving to herself because
if you think about it,
And so the other three go to the convention that's still going on and they explain that Neil/Dad is in trouble.
Yeah.
Then we get another Emily Osment song, I believe, because there's sort of like a montage and
I think all the music we hear is Emily Osment.
Where is her music career?
That's true.
Emily.
This was part of the deal with her, is I'll do the movie, but I'm also doing the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get that.
Miley got her music career, and Emily didn't.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's true. I mean, honestly.
That's a rough point for her, I bet.
Yeah.
Dang.
Wow. Did Lola/Lily ever sing?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Who the heck is Lola?
That was her. So Hannah Montana had a best friend that was Lola, but it was Lily.
Played by Emily.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Then she had an alter ego as well, so she could go backstage and hang out with Hannah.
Yeah.
Hannah.
And people would be like, why is Lily best friends with Hannah Montana? It's like, no, that's Lola.
Exactly. Mm. And she would wear like cool wigs and stuff too. So, yeah.
So Lily's alter ego was to be a groupie?
Yes.
Yeah. And Lily's alter ego name was Lola, so you would never know it was this.
I would love to be a pop star's best friend. You just hang out backstage and snack.
That's true.
While they're on stage.
I like it.
Did you say snack?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, not even see her, your friend in concert.
No, I've seen it. Oh,
look at this
I've
spread.
Yeah.
Turn those monitors down, down, down.
Yeah.
Yes. So we get a sort of montage with a bunch of hijinks with paint and water balloons, slime. Goo.
Slime galore. Slime galore. Absolutely. Big finale.
Yeah, so much slime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thought I was watching a Nickelodeon movie.
Oh.
I mean, come on, guys. What's going on?
Wow.
Oh. Hey-o.
Yeah, those were the days. Oh, gosh. Mm. Didn't you always want to be slimed?
Yeah.
No.
No?
I don't like getting dirty.
So Melissa puts a blanket over her dad, who's still tied up with duct tape, and I don't even remember that part, but she explains the signal of strength plan to dad, right. And he explains that, you know what, there's a lot of Melissa in Trip Zoom, and I said, why didn't he just say that before? And
he
says,
wanted to be mean. He's
she's the heart, his heart,
the
reason
up a lie.
He writes.
Taking the movie to think up a lie.
Yes. Yeah. He had to write this bit.
Because you've you've been a part of the
looking around the room at like different things.
Fuck, someone help me.
It was like coming up, you know, later, like coming up with a comeback 2 days later.
Oh yeah.
This was his comeback. He was like, I should have told her that it was her all along. She's the heart and soul, of course.
George Glass.
You are George Glass. So Merv reveals that he doesn't care about what Skunk writes. It's just a ploy to get Neil Morris to write his final book.
Dun, dun, dun. Final plan here coming out. Final dastardly.
This plan doesn't really make sense to me. So he's forced this man to write a book, and then he's going to sell the book.
Can you do that? Can you get somebody to write something, kill them, and then sell their book as not as yours, but as their own book?
It's like the opposite of a ghostwriter.
Yeah. Like, I kill Stephen King and be like, this is Stephen King's final book. I want the money. It doesn't work.
Yeah, because then you'd have to, like, rework the will. It's right. Weird. It's very complicated.
And then with the money, you will change the name of a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, babe. It's not going to work.
Ooh, this is
in
our
this universe.
First draft plan.
Yeah.
So Melissa gives the signal, and everyone on, so all the kids from the convention are now a part of this plan, and they all chant floss.
That seems to be a rallying cry, because that happens a lot throughout the that floss seems to be a big rallying cry in the Trip Zoom world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Universe.
Yeah. Yes. And so they send paint and goo flying. My question was, why would this work? I don't know. But apparently it's distracting. It creates a mess. And the bad dudes flee the hotel room, and then Melissa makes the stairs super slippery, and Maurice and Skunk fall, and then she's reunited with the original three kids, and Merv sneaks away with Dad, still taped,
still duct taped,
still napped.
Poor guy.
Yeah, they tie up Maurice and Skunk with dental floss, and then Mo and Skunk trip Merv, and the police arrive.
Finally,
the real police, not the sheriff that has been ignoring the calls.
Oh, yeah.
Two brand new no line cops.
Yeah, wait, what? What the fuck
he
is that guy
wants
doing?
Nothing to do with this.
He's like, I'm too busy. You guys go. I have to finish this project. I'm working.
This is absolutely the biggest event happening in this town right now.
Clearly,
the entire downtown has been destroyed.
What if we go back to the sheriff one third time? What would the third beat of whatever he's doing be? What is the sheriff doing the third time we cut to him?
He's chiseling a statue. Like.
Yeah.
And for
himself.
Some reason, everybody's in like Roman robes for like.
I'd love it. I'd love to see that.
Just be like,
has
why not?
Birdhouse for Kevin Jonas and Camp Rock.
Oh, crossover.
Uh-huh.
Crossover.
So that would be great if all the DComs took place in the same universe.
It's like Pixar. They do. They all exist in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should find ways, including Xenon and all that. Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, for sure.
So then we go back to the convention hall. I assume it's, I don't know, later this day, a different day. How long is this whole event?
Yeah, this is a comic. Well, I mean, how long is comic? It's longer than Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Oh, God.
At least a few days. So Dad addresses the crowd and the at the hotel and announces that the Zoom Enough Prize winners are Andre Sheldon and Wheeze. And Wheeze says, reading rocks.
Yeah.
Because I guess that was his thing the whole time that we didn't know. We didn't know that he liked to read and that was something he had to overcome.
This movie was actually paid for by libraries.
Yes.
And that's why they put that little thing about you have to return library books. And
I would believe it. I would 100% believe this was a library production.
Yes. This is a all library libraries. Production.
And like at the end of the movie, they showed the thing at the end of The Simpsons where it's the woman who goes, shh.
And then Dad addresses Melissa, who gets a standing ovation. Maurice and Skunk go to jail. Mm. And Wheeze gives Melissa his phone number.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
And then Dad and Melissa ride off, hopefully going camping, but I don't have a lot of...
They gotta stop at an REI first. They have no gear.
This is true. This is true. And then we get a montage of slime over the credits.
Which we pointed this out too. It's not like alternate takes or like outtakes or goofs. It's the same footage that you saw in the movie, just all cut together.
It's so fun. They do, like, it's so weird when they do that. Like, what was the idea? They were like, we can't just have credits.
Just a greatest hits.
We can't just have credit. We gotta remind everybody. We spent a lot of money on this goo. Yeah.
Contractually, we have to keep viewers watching the channel for 84 minutes. And your movie is 80 with 4 minutes of credits, so we have to
bring in the goo.
Bring in the goo.
And that's it.
Could be a thing where they're trying to get people to keep watching, because a lot of these DCOMs, they would premiere a new show after them.
Nielsen's. Oh, that's true. You're talking Nielsen's.
Oh, yeah.
Viewer retention. They had marketing people working on this.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because it wasn't like the credits were over the video. It was a split screen. So the credits were below the same video. I don't know. It was a layout.
Can you imagine it's like 2000 whatever, you're watching this on TV, and they do the shrink, top screen, bottom screen credits, and then the preview for the next show comes on, and it goes half screen?
So I used to work at Freeform. Like,
what am I looking at?
Yeah. No, we had to do that sometimes. If a show, if it had like video in the credits, we had to make a new side thingy for it. Like, especially for like 31 Nights of Halloween or 25 Days of Christmas. Cause you
bumpers are after everything.
You have to fill the promo time in. So you have to put it in somehow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They'll do crazy stuff to credits. I mean, they'll speed them up so fast. Sometimes if you're watching Friends, they'll do like the opening credit sequence underneath the first scene.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So
we got to jam in as many commercials as we can.
Nice. Yeah. They're like, everyone knows the opening credits. We don't need to.
We don't know. You want to see the fountain again?
Unbelievable.
That's dad-napped.
That was dad-napped. What a journey.
So after watching dad-napped, what would you say is the moral of the story? What's the takeaway here from this movie?
Always bring goo.
Yeah. Yes, and always floss. Remember to floss, kids. Remember to floss. But, you know, I think it would be honest with your family. If he was being truthful and that his daughter was really inspiration for this character, I think he should have just been honest in a few different ways by telling her that she's the inspiration, by maybe making her the character a little bit more true to the daughter. Gender first maybe would have been a good choice. Yeah. I think honesty all around would have been I think that's the lesson to be learned here.
Yeah.
Well said, Mark. True. Very well said.
Yeah, what was he getting by keeping that a secret?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
For me, the moral of the story is reading rocks.
Yeah, that really was a big theme.
Reading does
I don't know. I mean, my moral is like, don't go to every fucking convention.
No.
Some of them are worth missing. Listen, you don't have to go to this weird ass
the trip
at the
Zoom
Merck Hotel. I don't know. Yeah. I'm a little sus about that.
Or bring your parents. That at least bring your parents.
At least.
People are getting kidnapped at this convention.
No, it's fun. No parents is fun.
It's fun, you know. If this movie came out in the 90s, then yeah, I'm right on.
All right, let's cast ourselves. Who would we play in Dadnapped? Okay. Obviously, and I said this to Mark when we were talking earlier, no one can play the dad like Mark Schroeder. So, Mark,
I would love
you
to be this dad.
100% the
You're
dad.
Honored to book it in the room. I would love book to play it. The dad.
You yeah, get to just sit down.
This is
down.
Not even an audition. It's an offer. It's a straight up
That's
offer.
True. Once I would go back and forth with my agent about this. Is a lot of duct tape time. And then my agent would probably say the great advice that Rachel just gave me a little short while ago. It's also a lot of sitting time.
Yeah.
And we're going to fly out to beautiful Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And I'd say, sign me up. I'm in.
And then you get really messy.
Me
yeah.
Write yourself right into the prequel.
What are you shaking your head for, Oscar?
No, not a pun. See, I rest my case. That was the audition and you passed.
You passed.
I passed it. I got an A.
Wow.
I would love to be the dad in the prequel. I don't know, because that guy, I think, was younger than me. So we might have to,
work on.
We have to see what we can do.
Now, how old do you think the dad was?
33, maybe.
No.
How old do you think the dad
was? He's older.
Yeah. Older?
He's
30. Yeah.
I thought the mom was like 30.
Oh, the mom.
The mom was.
The mom was 22.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, maybe I can do the prequel. Thanks.
Yeah. How old was Emily? Yes. Emily had to be at least 16.
Emily
15?
Was, well, this was 19. She was 17, maybe?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Rachel, you would play the little brother.
Oh, okay. Leather jacket, tough Rachel.
Yeah.
Fine.
And Claire, you would play. You would play the very patient brother of Skunk.
Maurice.
Yeah. Maurice.
Just trying to give your brother that shot.
Just trying, yeah.
Mr.
Just be very
Mosby.
Nice, giving him a
giving
him a shot.
Really want him to become a writer.
Guys, the dad was 45.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's great. He looked young for 45.
Still
you know,
a shot.
Congrats to that
still
guy.
A shot for me. Who were you, Oscar? Yeah. Did you didn't cast yourself?
No, we didn't cast
Oscar.
We didn't cast Oscar yet.
Oscar.
Okay. This is Oscar's always.
Yes, and there is a right answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I want to see him as. I want to see him as Merv.
Who?
Merv of the hotel.
Oh, my lord, of course. Well, I am the same height as Merv, so yes. That works. That works 100%.
I'm thinking. There's no, like, really,
it's
like,
gotta
fun.
It's got to be the most obscure thing.
You know
it's
what? You're
be
the
person
you
at the police station
the
doing
sheriff.
The craft in the back.
Yeah, the sheriff.
Yes. Yes, that's you.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Like, stop calling me with emergencies.
It's like the man who falls from the ceiling is pretty fun.
He is pretty fun.
Oh,
but he
yeah.
He was too pretty boy.
Yeah, but he was too, stuff. Yeah. I was like, no, who? I was like trying to think of like old lady.
I know any old lady 100%, but there was no old ladies in
There's
this movie.
There wasn't a single old lady in this.
You know what there was though? A dad.
There was a dad.
Oh,
speaking
this
of
is
dads.
Right.
And speaking of dads, Mark, in this podcast we have a category called Zaddy Watch, in which we rank the dads of every single DCOM. And for this, we want to know how Zaddy-ish the dad from Dadnapped is, okay? And the way that it works is if this is the hottest Zaddy, he is platinum Zaddy status, then gold, silver, bronze, then dad, father, and that's the worst.
Okay.
Father is the worst.
So
where does this dad rank in Zaddy Watch?
I'm going to say bronze.
Okay.
And it was going to be an ordinary daddy, but all the shots of him bound and confined and restrained. I thought maybe bumps him up a little bit into bronze. Mm-hmm. So he's in that. He gets a medal. He gets a medal.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, I will say I absolutely love Brian McKenzie from Father of the Bride. So because of that, if it was this movie alone, it would be lower because he's not, especially at the beginning, he's not a good dad. Mm. He's very weird, questionable. Clearly, he's not great. He gets better toward the end, but I don't know if I buy it. I don't know how long it's going to last. However, I love Brian McKenzie, so I'm going to give him a gold zaddy.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay. What? For me, this is a not a great dad, but I never cared about, like, whether the dad was a good parent or not. Is he hot or not? And my answer is, hey, he's fine. So for that reason alone, I'm going to give him a bronze zaddy. Because he's, you know, it's, he gets, it would have been silver if he was a good father, but he ain't. So he's getting bronzed.
Yeah, no. I too like Brian and Father of the Bride, but in this movie, he's not a good dad. So that knocks him down. You know, maybe he's getting better now that he's happier, now that he's doing what he loves, you know. And he's learning to be a good father. Maybe he'll be better. But right now, I feel like he's a bronze zaddy.
Yeah. That feels right. That feels right. Mm. Yeah. All right. Now's the time to rank this movie. Out of 5 Trip Zoom books, how many Trip Zoom books do you give Dad Nat?
Yikes.
Okay, so I mean, I'll start because I've been pretty vocal about my thoughts on this
movie. Your love.
It was, I'm gonna tell you this, I fell asleep like 7 times in this movie. I had to rewind and be like, oh my lord, what the hell.
You loved it.
Yeah, so I loved it. And I watched, I mean, it wasn't even late. I watched it like at a reasonable time. I was fully awake and I was like, okay, this movie isn't so bad. And before I knew it, I slept through like 40 minutes of it. And I was like, oh lord, oh no, no.
That's
you saw it. You saw it in a theater and you were falling asleep.
It was a long hour and 22 minutes.
It did feel like an insanely long movie.
I could watch a whole season of I Think You Should Leave in this time.
Yeah, very that. But I, this is getting 2 books. Trip Zoom books. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go. It was, I don't know, like I said, even following the plot along, it was, I wasn't sure where they were going, and the real plot wasn't revealed until, like, a third of the way through the movie, I don't know. So, but it was like, all right, and there were hijinks and things. It was a very DCOM-y DCOM, so I'll give it 2.5 Trip Zoom books. That's kind of it. I feel like it could have been a little more fun, or it could have been a little... Or you know what else? All the main, like, 7 out of 8 of the main characters were guys.
Yeah.
So that's something that I was like, this is weird.
Which
to
is
me.
Weird because the lead was a girl. So.
Right. Yeah.
And it still felt very dude heavy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really enjoy this movie, even though this was like my 3rd time watching. But yeah, it is a very DCOM-y. It does have like a lot of people in it, but even all those people that I like in other things didn't make this movie great. I don't like bad dads, and this movie is just a bad dad movie. And yeah, it needed more female energy to it. Cause even then Emily the whole time was talking to this dude who was being rude to her, but he was apparently in her head. And it's like, girl, you don't need
you gotta
to
be nice to
I know
yourself.
She didn't love herself.
And
also
like,
she was sort of, there was no really like, I don't know. She didn't seem very likable. She had the very like, like teen tude vibe. That she was sort of like over everything. And also like I didn't buy like why she wanted to hang out with her dad so bad.
Yeah, because she loves her dad. Even if he sucks, she wants to hang out
just
with
wants
him.
Just that one-on-one time. That's tough.
But I give this a 2.
I am also going to give it 2 Trip Zoom books. This this had a lot of, there was a lot of mess going on in this movie. A lot of holes. You wouldn't even need floss because the gaps in these teeth are so wide, the food would just slip right through. You don't even need to floss or anything else. But everybody, you know what? People are working their butts off in this movie. I will tell you that. Everybody acting in this movie is doing the work, baby. They're really... Mm-hmm.
That's really I love that you defended this movie despite no allegiances to it at all whatsoever. Mark, you're one of the good ones, honestly.
Hey, we got to make one of these a month. They're not all going to be here at Disney Channel.
I'm not convinced that you didn't work on this movie, I have to say.
I wrote this before lunch, and then I wrote the next month's movie after lunch.
Wow.
It's a tight turnaround at Disney.
Amazing. Guys, we did it. We watched Dadnap. Oh. We rated, reviewed it. Mark, thank you so much for being a guest on Inside the Disney Vault. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Mark_Schroeder on Twitter and Instagram. You could find me
Babe,
at,
you're going to have to spell that for the listeners.
Okay, it's M-A-R-K underscore. You spell out underscore U-N-D.
No.
And then S-C-H-R-O-E-D-E-R, like the little piano guy in the Charlie Browns. That's And then I do funny stuff on Thursday nights on Twitch, twitch.com/PrivateStreetComedy. Check that out. And
very funny show.
Thank you.
Very funny, very good show. It's my favorite. It's my favorite thing on Twitch, I gotta say.
Oh. Yeah, no, me too.
You should see the people that smash their face in bread. That's really cool. That's got us beat. So.
I don't understand Twitch, but for your show, I would check it out. I'll try it.
Oh, well, thanks.
It's great.
You know what? I still don't understand it. Other people do all the technical work behind the scenes and just tell me where to be and what to do.
Yeah.
It's just like streaming stuff, right?
It's just from what I've been told.
just like the internet, right? You just like go to a place and look at a thing.
It's kind of like the information superhighway.
Now I understand.
That, and Ralph breaks the internet.
Oh, I was going to say Pixel Perfect.
Oh,
but
Pixel
yes,
Perfect, that. Too. That's more
I should have known from the DCOMs and Disney Channel movies that have taught me. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love you so much.
This is great.
And thank you, everyone, for listening and watching for the Patreons to Inside the Disney Vault. I'm Oscar.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Rachel.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. What a fun time talking about Dadnap.
So much goo. Yeah. So much toothpaste and floss.
Did you guys floss your teeth after watching the movie?
Yes.
No, I threw away all my floss, actually.
No. Wow. Wow. It made me want to floss. You know, I think it was sponsored by Dentists of America.
Wow.
And librarians? Yes, damn, they were all working on it together.
Yeah. But what are we watching next week?
Hatching Pete.
Oh, wow.
Hatching
okay.
Pete. I couldn't even tell you what
I remember
about.
When this came out, I did not
we'll
see
say,
it.
I will say one word. Mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Masked Singer. Okay, got
yeah.
it.
It's a mess. This is the prequel even though the Masked Singer came from Korea.
Yeah.
This movie inspired them to create a show, which then the U.S. took.
Wow.
You know?
Well, then we gotta watch it.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Yeah, I see a chicken mascot.
Uh-huh.
Hatching.
Oh, interesting.
Does a baby chicken mascot get born.
This is also a prequel to Chicken Little.
Oh,
oh my
fun.
God.
Yeah. Everyone says Chicken Little is like a story that's been told for centuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Centuries.
Like
but,
which came first?
Yeah.
The Chicken Little or the Hatching Pete?
No, it was Hatching Pete came first. And then years later they finally made it into a DCOM. And that's what
this all tracks.
Anyway,
this makes sense.
You know, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, they can reach out to us at Inside the Disney Vault on Instagram.
Yeah, or at ITDB Podcast on Twitter.
Yes, and if you want to see us look at Rachel in confusion of what she just said, you can become a Patreon at patreon.com/InsideTheDisneyVault.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Fun times.
Well, it's game time. We got to get out of here and move on. We got to
Rachel, gotta get our head in the game. I was just going to say, I cannot believe you didn't say get your head in the game.
No, because that was High School Musical. This is Hatching Pete.
This is a different.
I gotta go lay. Universe. I gotta go lay down. I'm so excited about next week.
Excited, I could crack.
Yeah, oh, crack, crack. Say crack one more time.
Crack.
Okay, so gobble gobble. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, dang. What's going on inside the Disney Vault, listeners?
Are you ready for a promo?
Let's do yoga. Let's get fit.
Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Muriel.
And we're the hosts of Hella in Your 30s.
A podcast about a cool couple trying to do adult stuff.
So each week we invite you to join us as we try to learn things we should probably already know, like how does a stock market work? Can we install that bidet? Why are all of our houseplants dying?
This is a podcast for people of all ages because remember,
age ain't nothing but a number.
But being Hella in Your 30s is a state of mind.
So tomorrow's a new day, let's order pizza.
Campfire.